I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
100.1 FM, AM 1020, KDK. This is Cars, Stars, and Everything in Between. He's the star, Richard Bazzi, from Schultz Ford, schultzford.com. I'm Bubba from 100.7 Star, and we've had some very real stars in the past. I got to tell you, if you know, you know. It's unbelievable. The Sopranos. Bobby Bacala, Steve Sciarpa is live.
Thanks for having me. Good to see you guys. Thanks for having me.
Steven, one of the things that, and I'm just going to run right into this, one of the things that I read about you that I did not know is that you, your first foray into the entertainment business was you were the entertainment director for the Riviera Hotel and Casino.
Yeah. Before I started acting, I was a maitre d' in Vegas for years. I was a bouncer. I worked at Paul Anka's Club. Then I worked at the Riviera. I used to book acts. All the comics, you name them, I booked them.
So who was at the Riviera? Was that Ash Resnick at the time?
Ash was gone. No, he was a friend of mine, though. He was at the Dunes when I saw
Yes. him. Yeah. Yes. And so I'm going to throw another name. Here's another name for you.
Yeah.
Dan Chandler.
I did not know him.
You did not know Dan?
No, no.
Okay, so I was what you did for Caesar's Lake Tahoe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so you knew Alan Margulies probably?
Yes, absolutely.
Tom Willard, yeah. All those guys? Yeah.
Absolutely, positively, yeah. So I did that. So I was booking acts, you know how it goes, and then lounge acts, the whole thing. And then one of the comics said, hey, let me put you in one of my sketches. I flew to L.A., did that. Really enjoyed it, and I kind of got the bug right there. I know it sounds like a cliche, but it was kind of like, wow. I was flying home from L.A. I was kind of a little bit high and started taking a few lessons, auditioning around Vegas just as a hobby. You know, just it was fun. I had a good gig, you know, at the hotel. I was living a good life. I had 2 kids, a wife, and, you know, started screwing around. And then I went to New York for a wedding. Audition for The Sopranos, and that was that.
Wait a second. So The Sopranos was one of the first gigs that you got?
Well, no, the first big gig. I had done some stuff before.
Okay.
I did a few movies. Yeah, and I started in 93, 94, like that. You know, Sopranos was in 99.
And you did Goodfellas, right?
No, I was not in Goodfellas.
Oh, I thought you were in Goodfellas.
No, I had a very small, in Casino,
Oh, Casino, yeah.
Put up the volume and slow it down. You see me yelling, Joey, watch out, watch out. And that's my stick card.
Wow. Well, you, honestly, you were probably one of the very favorite characters in The Sopranos. I think everybody that I know knows who you are, knows The Sopranos, knows the show. I'm going to get to the ending because I still don't understand the ending.
Well, nobody does. Nobody does.
Nobody does?
We have a podcast. It's over. It ended last year, but it's still out there. Very popular, Talking Sopranos. Me and Michael Imperioli, who played Christopher.
Yep.
And yeah. We had David Chase on 3 times, and he won't give it up. We tried every which way to get him to tell us, and he, you know, I think it's up to everybody's own opinion what happened. Tony alive, Tony dead. I don't know. We've tried him. Talking to him, but he's not giving it up. So,
but what's Steven's opinion?
You know, for a long time, I thought he was alive. Maybe it was wishful thinking. I thought he was alive and well and living in New Jersey. And as time has gone on, I kind of think he might have died there, you know. But for years, that was my take on it. And I kind of flip-flopped, you know. You know, the bell rings, you know, he's dead. The daughter is coming in the door. It's if you look at it again and again, I kind of feel he might have died. Yeah,
Steve, at what point in The Sopranos did you realize that what we are doing as a collective is really something special?
Well, you know, I came on the second episode of the second season. So the show was getting popular, but it wasn't what it became.
Of course.
I didn't know, you know, and I was kind of green. I didn't know. I knew this role. I worked really hard. I auditioned. You know, I did six episodes that first season. I had to fly myself. I was living in Vegas. I had to fly myself out, put myself up in New York, and they were paying me crappy. And it cost me $24,000, and I made $22,000.
What?
I took a gamble on myself. You know, my wife was all for it, and kind of made an investment and hoping that the following year I would be a series regular, and that's what happened, you know. But I didn't know. I know that the show got bigger and bigger, year two, year three, year four, and then it was just crazy, you know. I mean, being on the show was like playing for the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
You know, four, five, six of us walk into a restaurant, into a bar, and there was plenty of bars, believe me. You know, so it was a once in a lifetime. We were truly friends, you know, and a family. You know, a lot of shows say that, you know, and it's not true, but this really was something special, you know.
And some of that seems to be a lot of it really kind of emulated your background and your life. You were familiar with that. Is
sure.
That right?
You know, I come from Bensonhurst, Brooklyn. And at the time, growing up there in the 60s and 70s, it was one of the biggest mob enclaves in the city, if not the biggest. All right. Italian American. It's changed now. But back then, they were all there. And, you know, you didn't know. Like, all of a sudden, you're on, you know, you open up the paper. Oh, look, Joey's uncle just got arrested for killing six people. I thought he was just a baseball coach, you know. You didn't know. We were everywhere, you know. And I had friends that became mob guys. Some became doctors and pharmacists. Some got connected there, you know. Guy across the street from me did 25 years, you know, played on my little league team. You know, who knows why a guy goes right, guy goes left. But, yeah, I grew up around that, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's glamorized. I think – and The Sopranos really did glamorize the life.
I don't
right?
think it did. That's right. I don't think it did. I don't think – I think
tell me about
showed,
that.
I think it showed that it was crappy. And Tony Soprano had a gazillion problems. And I think that's what made the show so popular because – we could relate to this guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it wasn't all – it's you saw the family. You saw the background. You saw the mother, the problems. You know, most mob things, they're in nightclubs. They're in strip clubs. And that's all you see, you know. And it's
They're not at the therapist's office.
Absolutely. So, though you saw that – listen, in my experience, a mob guy, you wind up dead or in jail. It's not a nice life. The guys at the top make all the money, and all these other guys, their whole goal is to push the money up the top to the big bosses. It doesn't end well almost always for them, you know?
You know, by the way, if you're just tuning
in. That's pretty interesting. Did you have a favorite character other than yourself?
My favorite character was Paulie Walnuts.
Oh, the best. I love Paulie.
You know, him and
– I had at least –
him and Grandpa Munster, the only two people with those wings, you know.
Oh,
the only two guys in the world.
By the way,
off, you know, that handle.
If you're just tuning in, Steve Schirepa, who plays obviously Bobby Baccalieri on The Sopranos, who will be in town, by the way, Saturday, October 8th at the Carnegie Library Music Hall in conversation with The Sopranos. You can go to librarymusichall.com/events for more information. Brian Drusky and Drusky Entertainment, thank you so much for this. We will be back. This is Cars, Stars, and Everything in Between on 100.1 FM, AM 1020, KDKA. 100.1 FM, AM 1020, KDK AM. He's the star, Richard Bazzi from Schultz Ford, schultzford.com. I'm Bubba from 100.7 Star. And if you love The Sopranos, you've got to go see Steve Saturday, October 8th at the Carnegie Library Music Hall for In Conversation with the Sopranos. So Bobby Bacalari, but didn't everybody, why when I remember it was always Bobby Bacala? That's just how everybody pronounced it, right?
That was his nickname.
Bobby, yeah, Bobby Bacala. That's all I love. And by the way, you guys were talking about your favorite characters, and the one thing about The Sopranos that was amazing was the character development, but your character and how you played that role was absolutely amazing. And I'm not just saying this because we're having this conversation. Tony was my favorite character because he was so relatable, but you were a close second. And I'm just being honest with you. You were unbelievable.
Oh, well, it's fabulous.
They wrote me some really good stuff, you know, and I worked very hard. I believe it or not, I got an acting coach as soon as I got to New York. I found a guy that was a huge help to me, you know, because I never took classes. I didn't like acting classes, but I worked one-on-one with a coach. I still do now.
Wow.
To this day. So when I would get the material, he lived over in the East Village, and I would go to his apartment, and we would break it down. And then a lot of times, before I went to the studio to shoot it, I would go there, and we would do it in his living room. It was kind of like, and then an hour later, I'm at the studio. So they just wrote me some really good stuff. Never told me anything about the character. You know, you didn't, whatever was on the page is what you had to say. There was no ad-libbing, none of that.
Oh, that was a question I was going to ask you.
Yeah, no, not one word. And David Chase had been around TV, and he's a brilliant guy, and he don't take crap from nobody. I don't
really
care who you are. It's his way. That's it. It's his show, and you're going to do what he says. And I don't mean that where you're being abused or anything. Just that, say what's on the page. He didn't need your help ad-libbing, you know. So there's next to none of that, you know. We talk about all this stuff in the show. That's what the show is, what we're doing on October 8th. We show clips. We have a comedian, Joey Cola. He comes out first. Show clips. We come out, we show slides all during the show. We tell stories, all comedy driven. We tell inside, behind the scenes stories. Then we do a Q&A with the audience.
Boy, there's so much demand, so much appetite for that. Two things I'd like to say. First is I have a least favorite character. I absolutely hated Richie Aprile.
Yeah.
I wanted to come.
Well, you know, when he came on screen, you got scared. You got uncomfortable.
Yes.
He was a creepy, creepy character. But David Proval, the actor, is a sweet, sweet guy, you know. And
is he really?
He's nothing like that guy. Nothing at all. And, you know, he told us a story on the podcast. He had been bouncing around for years. He was in Mean Streets. And then those guys around him, you know, Harvey Keitel becomes a star, and Scorsese and De Niro. And he was one of the leads of Mean Streets. And David had kind of a journeyman's career. And he told us, when he got the role, he said he flew out from L.A. He was putting the key in the door of the hotel room, and his manager called and told him he got it. He said he collapsed on the bed and broke down crying. Wow. I mean, and he had been doing this for, you know, 40 years. He's an actor, 50 years. And he said he deserved this, and he wanted it, and it only lasted one season. And he knew that's what it was going to be going in. But he really made an impact.
Yeah. Sure did.
He really did.
Listen, Janice was one of the most evil characters. And Aida Totoro is one of the nicest people you'll ever meet in your life.
Isn't that something? And so my second thing is, what's number two and number three? Where did the train infatuation come from?
They just made that up. I have no
idea. They just made it up. And how did you feel about your demise in a train store?
You know, David Chase, you know, usually he would tell you, you know, we would have a read through every show. And so everyone who was in that episode, and sometimes before it started, he would say, hey, can I see you? Take you in the office, say, listen, we love you. You got to go, blah, blah, blah. That's how it went down, right? So I'm at my apartment in, you know, downtown. And I get a call, Hofer David. Now, listen, we're friends, but we're not close friends.
Right.
And he says, where are you? And I said, I'm at my apartment. He said, I'm coming over.
Uh-oh.
I went, my wife comes in. She said, who is that? I said, David's coming here. So I kind of went, uh-oh, was right, right? So the doorman rings him up. I open the door, and he goes, well, I guess you know why I'm here.
Oh,
like a real hit, like a real hit, right? I went, well, I guess so. Come on in. And we sat at the table, and he was very vague, trained and thing. And I said, all right, well, I hope you like what I did. And so, yeah, absolutely. And I said, thank you for changing my life. And that was it. And I thought, you know, the way they killed you off started to become like a badge of honor.
Okay. Oh, that's a great point.
You know, so I thought mine was terrific kill. It's really well done. And that train store, that's a train store in Long Island called Trainland. And, you know, I thought that was well done. Ralphie had a good one when they cut his head off in the bowling bag. I thought Christopher's was good. You know, some guys, not as good as others. Some guys faded away. So
yeah.
I'm proud of, I thought that was a pretty good one. And we shot it on Valentine's Day. Took 2 days to shoot that.
Really?
Because, you know, they shoot you and they put those squibs and, you know, it runs up your leg. So when the gun goes off, you know, they're popping them out, you know. So it looks like you're bleeding.
And was it hard to make the move from being from the mob to being a police officer in Blue Bloods?
No, not at all. You know, I tell you what's funny is I've been on the show for 8 years. We're starting out. It starts October 7th. I'm shooting our 13th episode, 13th season. And I used to have fat, sweaty mob guys come up to me, give me advice. Now I got fat, sweaty cops giving me advice. I like that better. I like that better. No, it wasn't, you know, because this show is well-written also. Listen, it's a different kind of show. It's very popular. 10 million people watch it Friday night.
Wow.
The Reagan family, kind of like the Waltons, you know, every Sunday they get together, you know, they still say a prayer, you know, before dinner. And, you know, they asked me to do one, maybe two. And so I came in to do it and I've done like 115.
Oh, wow.
Episodes. That's fabulous.
Yeah. So this is well written. You know, when something's on the page and it's good, it's much easier to act because you got to, you know, you get some stuff, you go, how the hell am I going to make this sound real?
Oh.
Because it's written so badly. But Blue Bloods, just brilliant, the writers, you know. So I like playing a cop. I mean, it's a detective, but he's a street guy detective,
yep.
You know.
Steve is going to be in Pittsburgh on Saturday, October 8th at the Carnegie Library Music Hall for In Conversation with the Sopranos. Wow. Richard,
there's a handful of tickets left. It's me, you know, Michael Imperioli, Christopher, and Vinnie Pastore, Big Pussy. We have a comedian.
You know, you mentioned high roller parties. That sounds like what you do might be really good for the Las Vegas crowd.
You know, they kind of made us an offer, but believe it or not, it wasn't enough money. They keep saying that. But, you know, we do theaters. You know, we do theaters. We've done Foxwoods. We've done the Borgata in Atlantic City. For some reason, Vegas, you know, so I suggested, how about Sopranos nude on ice? Would that be a good show?
Not only do I think it's a great show, but I think it's a great way to end this thing.
Nice talking to you guys. I hope to see you on the 8th.
You're a blessing.
Steven,
this is Cars, Stars, and Everything in Between.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. The visit pitchhitrun.com today.